Members, please register their presence by voting. Clerk, please take the quorum.
37 present, 3 absent.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Byrne and Roeder excused from the call of the House today, although Representative Byrne is present. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Our chaplain is unable to be with us this morning, so on that basis, I'd like to ask Representative Swanson to lead the House in a brief prayer. Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted.
I have one other request. May it be shown as present?
The clerk, please certify us the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 40th, 41st, 42nd, 43rd, and House Supplement Number 13.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 40th through 43rd days and for House Supplement Number 13.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Miller.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, in the far gallery, I believe they're behind the post. Yeah, there they are. Sitting beside Parks Director Terry McWilliams are two distinguished individuals from the Heritage Conservation and Recreation Service of the federal government. That used to be called BOR. They are Mr. Paul Pritchard, who's Deputy Director of the service from Washington, D.C., and Mr. Bill Thomas, who's the Alaska Area Office Director.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, behind me, the real politician in our family, my 6-year-old son, Casey Carpenter.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I see a former member of the House in the Gallery B, and I'd like to introduce him. Just to show that there isn't anything personal, no personal hostility between us. I'd like to introduce former member of the House, Ted Smith. Ted's been limping around out here on the second floor. He was here last week doing the same thing, and he carries a crutch with him. And the deal is that he's been telling everybody I bit him in the leg. And it's not true. I kicked him in the leg in a fair fight.
Are there further guests for introduction? Are there any messages from the governor?
Mr. Speaker, I've signed the following bill and resolution, and I'm transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 327, amended House, relating to the satisfaction of judgments and liens, Chapter 9, SLA 1978. House Resolution Number 18, relating to the Susitna Power Project, House Resolve Number 2, signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. There is a letter from the governor requesting that the legislature review the disaster emergency proclamation for the community of Carlick for an additional 60 days. This letter has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. There is a I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following and is transmitted herewith for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 436 by the Judiciary Committee. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration for the Kotzebue Senior Citizen Center and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There is a communication from Richard L. Burton, Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. Dear Speaker Malone, in accordance with Alaska Statute 1865-85, the Department of Public Safety is submitting to you a copy of our report concerning the activities of the Drug Enforcement Unit established within the Division of State Troopers for the year 1977. In the interests of paper reduction, I have sent only one copy. Additional copies of this report will be supplied by my office to anyone interested in reading the full report upon request. Telephone contact 465-4322. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
Dear Mr. Speaker, it is the recommendation of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee that the appointment of Mr. Sigvald Strandberg to the Local Boundary Commission be confirmed. Signed sincerely, Lisa Rudd, Chairman. Concurring, Loveseth, Anderson, Kelly, Miles, Snyder, and Phillips. No recommendation, Smith. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 394, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House committee substitute for Senate Bill 394, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Duncan, Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Meekin, Swanson, Buchholz, Greening, and Cooper. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 394 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 636 relating to the cost of living allowance provided under the public employees' retirement system under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, signing do pass, Bradley, McKinnon, Miles, and Nackack. Having no recommendation, Kelly and Lathine. House Bill 636 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions and citations?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills?
House Bill 855 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to public corporations or other municipal instrumentalities and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease. We're down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 40 by the Labor and Management Committee, an act relating to state and municipal employment. The Committee on Labor and Management has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 40 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with House committee substitute for a committee substitute for Senate Bill 40, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Anderson, McKinnon, and Brown. Having no recommendation, Smith and Hayes. I have two amendments. Oh, I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the House Labor and Management Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Mr. Clerk, have any amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Rudd. Page one, line 26. Delete section two.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There's objection. Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, this section of the bill binds municipalities to a system of preferential hire for residents of the state. This section was not reviewed by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and I'm not aware of any input from municipalities on this section. However, because I'm virtually certain that municipalities would oppose this section, and because I believe that they would be correct in opposing this section, the binding of municipalities to residential hire, I am moving to delete the section from the bill. I don't believe it's necessary for the state to bind municipalities to resident hire, and I think it's an extremely undesirable thing to do.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, we did discuss this in the House Labor and Management Committee, and at least it was my understanding that the perhaps incorrect, but it was my understanding that the lobbyists for the Municipal League had been contacted. Also, this bill has been in the legislature for a while now, originally introduced on the 9th of May, 1977. I received no correspondence, even though it's been lodged in my committee since last year. I've received no correspondence at all or contacts from any municipalities. Now, on the other hand, I can understand the rationale for the amendment. I suppose it would go in the direction of our strongly felt tradition of home rule. I think the bill itself can stand with or without the amendment, but I'm not quite sure whether there's really that much of a problem with the municipalities. I will vote against the amendment, but whether or not it passes or fails, I don't think that it will hurt the major portion of the bill if it does pass.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. In fact, I have an amendment with the clerk now that the intent of my amendment was to essentially accomplish the same thing. And I would therefore withdraw my amendment in as much as amendment number one covers it. But I do have a letter from the municipality of Anchorage, Mr. Speaker, dated March 17, 1977. In response to a letter of inquiry that I had made to the mayor, and this was a letter from Doug Weifert, the manager, and he points out that Senate Bill 40, which was the bill that I sent him when I made the inquiry, did not include home rule municipalities. Therefore, he wasn't concerned about several of the aspects of it, but there is an implication that had home rule municipalities been affected, that they certainly would have had some concern. Since that time, there have been two committee substitutes. One before us, Mr. Speaker, non-incorporates municipalities of home rule municipalities. one of the problems that's pointed out by the municipality of Anchorage is that this bill makes the assumption that all municipalities operate under a personnel system similar to the state of Alaska. And this letter from the municipality of Anchorage goes on to point out that they do not operate in the same manner. They do not maintain a roster, as is was mentioned in the bill, primarily due to the mobility of their applicant population. And so for the reasons stated by Representative Rudd, plus some of the concerns that I've stated, and I think particularly what I would interpret as being a concern by the largest municipality, Anchorage, I support the amendment.
Representative Lafine.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to raise in favor of the amendment. I feel, as being a former director of what is now known as the Community and Regional Affairs Department, I'm a strong believer in home rule or local rule, local control. And what this legislation does is cut it out, let the local municipalities make their own decisions in terms of what they want and residency requirements. And I have to think that that's a more favorable way of doing it. I don't believe that the state should be pushing this down the municipality's throat.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think the most important thing this bill does is what's not addressed by the amendment. But and it's nice to see that there are other people rising on this floor following the home rule tradition that Mr. Parr and I have talked about for the last 3 or 4 years on this floor. But may we have an at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House, please stand.
Perfect order.
Mr. Speaker.
Before the at ease, under consideration was a motion to adopt amendment number one to House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 40. Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, whether this amendment passes, I think the bill is still in good shape, but I'm going to at least comment that it does bother me that a member of the committee stands up here and supports the amendment and comments that he was in receipt of this information on the something or other of March 1977. He was not at the committee when we marked the thing up. I would have appreciated at least if he had asked a member who would be present to make his amendment if he felt that strong about it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak against the amendment. It's true that local control is a popular issue, but I think that local hire is even more of an important issue. And perhaps somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I read the bill, we don't require municipalities to go through any local hire, or we don't mandate that they hire residents. The bill says that local residents shall be preferred, and if the appointing authority doesn't hire a resident, well, they only need to justify that decision. And I think that this is not a whole lot to ask. And I think, again, local hire is a more important issue in this case.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
The point that is being talked about was raised in committee. And I would point out to the members of the body that we were quite concerned that this may be infringing on local control. But the explanation we got in committee was that there simply wasn't going to be that kind of a flow out of the adoption of Section 2, and for that reason I didn't push it in committee. I still think it's a good section, and I don't think it will in any way infringe on local control as far as the kind of policy that a home rule borough or city adopts. I think basically what it does is that it does call attention to the fact that when jobs do open up, that Alaskan residents ought to be considered, and if they are in or in contention for a job and apply, that the municipality should give justification on why they weren't selected, and that's all it does. And it's very permissive in my opinion, and I see no reason in the world why we ought to support the amendment.
Representative Lathine.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to point out by doing this, we're giving license to our bureaucrats. I understand Representative Anderson's point, but let's face it, the bureaucrats have a great deal of control, and they'll say to municipalities or something the threat of we're not going to give you money, or we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that. To me, it's offensive, and I think the municipality should be able to handle their own problems in terms of that kind of thing on residency, not have us do it.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm a little perplexed by the remarks of the previous speaker. I wonder if he could indicate to me what provision of law provides for sanctions by any state bureaucrats against local government in the event that this section were arguably or allegedly violated.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the amendment. It appears to me that if the a borough assembly in Fairbanks wants something like this, they can pass an ordinance. If the one in Kenai doesn't want it, they don't have to pass such an ordinance. If the one in Nome has a third position, they can do what they wish to do. I don't see any reason for us mandating this procedure to the municipalities.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I guess it does come down to a basic philosophical question. Of course, we can do it if we want to do it. But it doesn't seem necessary to me that we bind the municipalities to a preference for Alaska residents in their hiring, and it doesn't seem desirable either. Conditions vary across the state, and what we're doing if we do adopt the bill as it stands now is, at the very least, we're making it necessary for the municipalities to set up a system for justification and for filing statements indicating their efforts to recruit residents of the state and so on. I agree with Mr. Parr. If they want to do it, that's fine, and they can do it. But I don't think the state should be telling them how to run their personnel systems. There is another point that might be brought up, and that is that under the section of the law that we are adding these sections to, it provides that the Assembly or Council may provide for a personnel system. In the section that I'm proposing to delete, it says, in all appointments made from a register or roster prepared under a personnel system established under A of this section. I think the municipalities would very quickly determine that they weren't bound by this section 2 that I'm attempting to delete, as long as they don't have a personnel system, so that they will continue a very haphazard, they will be encouraged by this law, if it passes, to continue a haphazard personnel system and not set up a really good merit system, as we hope that they will do. This law would encourage them not to have such a system, because the minute they do, they come under these requirements that I'm seeking to delete from the bill. I support the amendment.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, it doesn't seem to make any sense here. We've told private corporations like Alyeska Pipeline Company, and talking about a company that's going to build a gas line, and labor unions and other private companies, that you're going to hire residents, and we've tried to pass laws to force that to happen. And now we're talking about municipalities, which get a large share of their funding for all the programs that they get from the state, which is comes from the tax dollars of all the residents of the state of Alaska, and other some of these same corporations that we're forcing to or trying to force to hire residents. And it doesn't seem to make any sense to me to argue in this case, well, we'll just let them do what they want to do. If they're against resident hire, I would like to know, but I don't think they are. I think the municipalities are in favor of it, and all this is in an effort to do is one more effort, like all of the others that this legislature and others tried to do, is to make sure that residents have as many advantages as they can in getting employment in the state, and we sure as heck need that.
Representative Rudd.
Well, Mr. Speaker, in the case of the development of the state's resources, the pipeline and those resident requirement provisions, the Supreme Court, it's been a long time since I read the opinion, so I can be corrected on this, but as I remember, the Supreme Court upheld the residents' requirements for the development of the state's natural resources, because those are a state resource, and the state as an entity has a great interest in the development of those resources. I'm not at all sure that that same justification would extend to municipalities, and it may be that the Supreme Court, if they were asked to make a finding on it, would find that we couldn't bind the municipalities. At least we couldn't bind them under the same provisions that they found were justified in the case of the development of the state's resources.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, Mrs. Rudd points out a very good matter, and that's exactly why we do not use the same definition of resident that is used in the Right-of-Way Leasing Act. The House Labor and Management Committee in subsection C on line 20 adopted the provision that is used, among other things, in Title 36, or a modified version of it, that comes out of local hire on public construction contracts to the state, and it's entirely unrelated to the law of what we can or cannot do with regard to our powers as a landowner and under the Right-of-Way Leasing Act, which of course was the issue before the Alaska Supreme Court and is now the issue before the United States Supreme Court. And although I know there are certain provisions in the Constitution of the State of Alaska with regard to municipalities, I hope the member is not making the argument that we cannot constitutionally do this, but it sure sounds like it.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Article 10 of the Alaska Constitution provides for maximum local self-government. A liberal construction shall be given to the powers of local government units. And then a home rule borough or city may exercise all legislative powers not prohibited by law or by charter. In other words, the intent of the framers of the Constitution was quite clearly to give maximum local self-government. That's what they've said. I think we should be cautious when we start restricting those powers. Obviously, we have to establish to restrict their powers, just as the Constitution of the State of Alaska restricts our powers. Our laws restrict the powers of the local governments the same way. But we ought to be cautious in doing that, and most times, I'd say, if we're in doubt, we should not do it.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, not to belabor the constitutional part too much, but as Mrs. Rudd pointed out, every municipality is not included under this law unless they have a personnel system established under A of Section 2823550. That requires an election or a decision by local government. Also, contrary to some of the implications of her earlier remarks, it could well be that a local government could adopt a very, very fair and adequate personnel system that would not comply with Section A of 2823550. That is an election by them. Since it is an election and a matter of choice on the part of local government, even after the passage of this law as it's proposed here, it would not be a constitutional infringement upon their powers, since the choice is still up to them.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 1 be adopted? Roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Sixteen yeas, 22 nays, 2 excused.
So Amendment Number 1 has not been adopted. Ms. Clerk, are further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller.
Speaker, if there are no further amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 40 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk, please read Senate Bill 40 in third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 40 by the Labor and Management Committee, an act relating to state and municipal employment.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I should have asked this question before, but I think I will now. In Section 2 of the bill, does this cover the hiring of teachers? They might be under a different personnel system. We're not aware of it.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the I can only presume, and I probably should be corrected on this, possibly by Mrs. Rudd or someone else, but I believe the original bill specifically said including teachers, and then the section was deleted in the Senate, and the issue was not specifically addressed in the Labor and Management Committee. The reference was deleted in the Senate Committee substitute. That's the only answer I can give to the question right now.
Representative Rudd.
I'm sort of presuming, too, but I presume it does not include employees of school districts because it refers to Section 2923550 of present law, which refers to all appointments and promotions of municipal officers and employees, but does not refer to school district employees, and it's in Title 29, which only occasionally deals with school districts specifically.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I fumbled before. Specifically, the language was on page 2 of the original bill. The language that was deleted apparently in the Senate Committee substitute were the words including its school district following municipality.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 40 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-seven yeas, 1 nay, 2 excused.
And so Senate Bill 40 has passed the House. Representative Lathine.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give my notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 40.
Clerk, please note Representative Lathine's notice of reconsideration of his vote on Senate Bill 40. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 by Croft, relating to the Head Start program. The Committee on HES has had Senate Joint Resolution 33 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, Chatterton, Cotton, Phillips, Byrne, Parr, and Parr. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, unless there are amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 33 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 in third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 by Croft, relating to the Head Start program.
Is there any discussion? You ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 2 excused.
So Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, one item I'd like to take care of at this time. We had introduced in the House the other day Senate Joint Resolution Number 37 relating to the conservation of bowhead whales. That resolution was referred to the Special Subsistence Committee and also to Resources. I have a request from the Chairman of the Special Committee to waive that referral to Special Committee on Subsistence, and if there's no objection, this time we'll waive the referral to the Special Committee on Subsistence. The bill will be referred directly to Resources. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to ask unanimous consent that Representative Brown be excused from the call of the House the February 23rd through 27th.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The member will be excused and the dates indicated. Representative Lathine.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the House on February the 23rd and 24th.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Member will be excused on the dates indicated. Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B is a constituent of mine, the type of constituent that I always like to have, one that cannot vote against me. Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure to introduce Carla Magnuson. Further, Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce to you in the body a very fine constituent of the two members of this body from Juneau, and her name is LaRonda Hilton.
Thank you. Further guests for introduction? Not, we'll revert to the regular order of business. Is there any more unfinished business to come before the House at this time? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, this weekend I had an opportunity to review some of the monthly reports from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and I just thought I'd share with the body a couple of items from it. In the Division of Community and Rural Development, one of the items is someone continued work as the division representative on the Paperwork Reduction Committee. The task of the month was completion of forms analysis for all of the division's forms used by the public. Several weeks after submission, the analysis forms were returned to our office with instructions to submit again, this time in file folders with the original division forms and 3 more copies. Another division, Paperwork Reduction Force, filled out 9 forms analysis forms for form reduction program on the division's 2 forms.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Swanson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, under special orders, came to my desk the other day a notice from the Alaska Public Offices Commission. I would recommend that every member of this legislature open his mail and read that thing. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit, Mr. Speaker. Some of the things can happen under these I'll call them phony regulations being written by different sections of our administration. If a report is not filed, commission staff will notify the official that he is subject to criminal penalties, notify the Department of Administration and request that his pay and benefits be forfeited until the official complies with the law, notify the Office of the Attorney General of the situation, notify the news media. And go on a little bit farther, same way in the court system, the administrator of the court system will also be notified to withhold the officer's pay and benefits until such time as the report is received. And this, when we set and allow a commission to impose penalties and take your pay or somebody's pay away from them, I think that that's a really wrong regulation. I think it would be wrong if we allow such regulations as this to be written. I would hope that the Regulations Review Committee really takes a look at this one before it gets any farther than our desk. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, excuse me. This afternoon at 1:45 in the Gold Room of the Baranoff Hotel, the Capital Site Planning Commission will present the financing plan to a joint hearing of the House and the Senate State Affairs Committee, and hopefully as many of the Senate and House finance members and the respective chairmen as possible. Again, of course, this is a timely and sensitive issue, Mr. Speaker, and it would probably behoove everybody that is going to be substantively involved through the committee process to attend it if at all possible. That's 1:45 in the Baranoff.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'll make this announcement today and tomorrow because it is about an evening meeting and also the only meeting this week of the Labor and Management Committee. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we'll be considering a proposed committee substitute for House Bill 777, an act relating to equal employment opportunity in construction contracts with the state and so forth by Mrs. Rudd, and hope the members will be there.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet briefly at 1:15 this afternoon to take up House Bill 642 on the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and also to interview Ms. Sherilyn Mumaw, who is a new appointee to the University Board of Regents. We'll also discuss schedules on the budget subcommittees and the format in which HB 133 will be presented to the committee tomorrow. It'd be my intention to have the meeting finished before 1:45 so that the members who wish to attend the Capital Site Planning Commission's presentation can do so.
Further announcements? Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet at 3 this afternoon, and we have House Bill 680, Bilingual Public Hearings under the Administrative Procedures Act, and House Bill 726, Multilingual News Coverage.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the Commerce Committee will meet at 8 tomorrow morning to take up HCR 108 dealing with the Alaska Industrial Development Authority and HCR 56 dealing with the Federal Aviation Administration.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, right upon adjournment, hopefully by 11 o'clock, the House Special Committee on the Permanent Fund will be meeting in House Judiciary to take up House Bill 682 dealing with the Alaska Renewable Resources Development Fund. We have a few amendments to that committee bill, and hopefully this will speed up the process of getting all the bills out by this month.
Representative Gardner.
Judiciary Committee will meet on the criminal code at 3 o'clock tonight and also at 7 o'clock tonight.
3 o'clock this afternoon. Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, Budget and Audit is meeting at noon today in the Senate Finance Room.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I left one item out. At 4 o'clock, this isn't a formal meeting, but the committee will be meeting, the House Permanent Fund Committee will be meeting with the Executive Director of the Alaska Power Authority, some other people concerned with hydroelectric power. The consultants, White Weld, will be there. We'll be discussing some problems relating to that hydro projects.
Where will that meeting be?
That'll be in state affairs at 4 o'clock. I hope the chairman's been given notice of that.
Representative Rudd.
Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on House Bills 578 and 509, both dealing with sales taxes.
Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource Committee will meet today at 1:30. Taking up House Bill 773, Appropriation to Alaska Trollers Association, House Bill 807, Free Punch Cards for King Salmon, House Bill 808, Independent Fishery Biologist. And they will also meet again tonight at 7:30 p.m., taking up H.A.R. 49, Eskimo Whaling, H.A.R. 55, Conservation of Bowhead Whales, and House Bill 686, Whale Stock Availability, and House Bill 687, Appropriation to Eskimo Whaling Commission.
Further announcements? One further announcement that like to make this time. From time to time, due to circumstances really beyond anyone's control, we're without our regular chaplain. And at those times, it's customary to ask a member of the body to lead the house in prayer, but usually comes up on fairly short notice. And there may be people that would like to participate in that chaplain for a day program that haven't had the opportunity to do that. So anyone that's interested when the opportunity arises in performing the functions of the chaplain for the house for a day, they leave their name with me and they'll get a chance perhaps. Is there further business to come before the house? Representative Miller?
I might say, Mr. Speaker, that the under those circumstances you don't get the additional $15 that we ordinarily pay the chaplain. Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the House, I'll ask unanimous consent this body stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.